Let me tell you a quick story, and then I'm going to get in the message, because when we were in Liberia, the Lord gave me, really spoke to me in the place where we're at in Liberia. Liberia was tore up by civil wars. I've never been in a place that has been so broken by civil wars. There's so many things that could get in. I'm not going to get into it. But while we were there, how many know that we live broken lives, that every one of us have broken lives, right? And what I'm going to talk about in this series, and I'm going to start a series on the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, let me tell you the story first, because I always do one, so I'm going to do one. First, God created the earth, then he rested. Then God created man, then he rested. Then he created woman, and no one has rested ever since. How many guys say amen? And how many women say that's why things get done around here? Right? Okay. So you say, the series I'm going to talk about is, who is this guy? Who is this guy, the Holy Spirit? Some of you already said, Alice, I knew we shouldn't have come to this service. He's going to talk about the Holy Ghost. That's right. I'm going to talk about the Holy Ghost. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, really, there's no perfect time to talk about the Holy Ghost than around Halloween. Right? Because the world is talking all about spirits and goblins and ghosts, and they got their movies out there talking about the spiritual realm, and you got people playing the Ouija board, but which, by the way, is a real thing. When I was in high school, there was a guy that tried to kill his stepfather because he was playing the Ouija board and it told him to kill the first person that talked to him. So he tried to kill him with a knife. The Ouija board, there is a very spiritual element in the world. There's a very much a spiritual reality in the world. And if you think it's just Hollywood or movies, then you're kidding yourself. Hollywood is getting it from somewhere. It's a reality that actually exists. We were in Africa, they had voodoo people and witch doctors that people are scared of, or they go to if they need help, because there is something that actually happens when they go to them. So we need to understand, in this season when the world and our culture is celebrating evil spirits, maybe the church should wake up and begin to celebrate the Holy Spirit and recognize that the Holy Spirit is present, that he's in our life, and to talk about that and not be ashamed of it, but actually be involved and understand who this guy is. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk from John chapter 14, 15, and 16. I'm going to really come out of those this morning. There are going to be a number of verses, because you won't believe me, you'll have to believe the Bible, okay? And so in John chapter 14, it starts out, they had just been in the upper room, and they're getting ready to leave the upper room, 15 and 16. They're talking as they're walking into the garden. And so basically what Jesus was saying, this is the context of what Jesus was saying, is he's saying, I'm going away. Don't be afraid. I'm going to send someone to you, and it's going to be better. And by the way, his name is Holy Spirit. Right? Now, there are a lot of people who get afraid. Now, I've said this years ago. I started saying this, but if you have a hard time with Holy Spirit and it kind of scares you, you know, why wouldn't have God just called him Chuck? God the Father, God the Son, God the Chuck. You know, it wouldn't have been so hard, you know, it's scary if you're afraid of ghosts. You know, you hear Holy Ghost, you're like, ooh, Holy Spirit, ooh, right? Holy Chuck was just much more doable. But you know what? The reality is, his name is not Holy Chuck. It's Holy Ghost. It's Holy Spirit. And it's a spirit. And we're going to take a look at this. Go to John chapter 14. If you have your Bible, you want to open it up to John chapter 14. If you don't have your Bible, you want to bring your Bible and then open up to John 14. Here's what it says. And I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Now, forever in the Greek is forever, okay? No confusion there. Next verse. The Spirit of Truth. It's important to understand that this Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Truth, okay? He's the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and this is important, and will be in you. Okay? Makes sense? Next verse. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. So there is no truth. There is no truth that you can experience or have, or wisdom you can experience or have, without the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. All truth is in the Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay, next verse. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. What does it say? All things, right? Everything you'll know about God, the Holy Spirit will teach you about God. But if we think the Holy Spirit is a thing of the past, if we don't talk about the Holy Spirit, or if we're afraid of the Holy Spirit, who's teaching us all things? Okay, now I want to address this one point. It says that he will teach you all things. That doesn't mean that I'm going to teach you anything. Okay? Now, there's been a problem in the church that is starting to grow, and the celebrity-driven society. Okay? Can I get everyone's attention, especially those who do not believe God exists and has a problem with the church? You're going to love this. Okay? The problem is that I will speak things that are going to impact your life in a positive way, and you're going to say, Pastor James spoke something, what he said was powerful, and when he spoke on that, it set me free. And that could not be as far from the truth as it is as far from the truth. See, the reality is, I may be preaching the truth, but only the Holy Spirit can cause the truth to mean anything to you. Does that make sense? See, the reality is, yes, God gave me the assignment to preach the truth, but it's not my truth, nor is it me speaking it. It's just my voice. See, there are people in here that are going to leave today after hearing this message. You're going to leave today hearing this message, and you're going to think, that was the boringest message I've ever heard, because you didn't hear the Holy Spirit. Then there are going to be those in this room that said, that changed my life. And it's because your spiritual ears were open to hear the Holy Spirit, not to hear me. My assignment is not to be this wise person that gives you great wisdom so that you can then turn around and say, Pastor James this, Pastor James that. Hopefully good things, not bad things. But that's not my assignment. And if you're saying those things, I have miserably failed, because it is not me revealing truth to you. Only the Holy Spirit can teach all things. Does that make sense? And one day, the Holy Spirit will move me out, and he'll put someone else in your life, and they're going to speak to you, and it won't be them, it's going to be the Holy Spirit using their voice to communicate right to your heart. The problem in the church is, where are your eyes? If you're looking at a man, you will surely be disappointed. If you think I'm the answer to your problems, you will be surely disappointed. I am merely a messenger of the truth. I am not the truth, nor do I have the power of the truth. Only the Holy Spirit has that power, and he's the one that's communicating it to your spirit, spirit to spirit. Does that make sense? So if you're on podcasts and you're on all those other things, and some guy gets up there and, oh man, I love so-and-so, well, If you said you love God as much as you said you love so and so, that you might have a different relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't go out to the post. You don't go to the postman and give the postman a kiss because they brought you a tax check. I love my postman. No, I don't love him. He brings me bills. That's why I don't love him. Right? Who are you in love with, the postman or the message? Right? The one who reveals it. And the Holy Spirit not only teaches, are you getting this morning? So in Africa, they kind of responded. I kind of got used to that after three services. So he will teach all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. He'll bring it to your remembrance. So there'll be a time where you're sitting. You remember a few weeks ago when I was talking about the reason we have strife in our relationships is because I want what I want and I'm not getting it. And so when you're in the middle of a fight, the Holy Spirit brings my voice to your attention and says, remember, the reason you're so mad with each other is because you want something and you're not getting it. Right? And you say, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading me away on a path of righteousness, right? Some of you just ignore it. Next verse. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. He's going to point to me. Next verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage. Now, this is amazing to me, because how many have seen in the last verse that he's referred to as he? Now, don't get into the whole she things. What he's identifying is he is a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. You cannot have a personal relationship with an it. Right? He is a person that you can have a personal relationship with. And Jesus is saying this. This is amazing to me. Because if you had to choose between Jesus coming back and being in this place or the current status of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, it is better that I'm not in this place because you got something better. Now, some of you don't believe that. You're like, what? You mean this is better? I think if Jesus was here, it would have been better. Not according to Jesus. Look what he says. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Who is he talking about? The Holy Spirit does not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. What Jesus is saying is, it is far better that I have left and gone away, because now you have the Holy Spirit in your presence living in you. So it doesn't get any better. If you're saying if Jesus would hear, the whole thing would be all better. No, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is there. That's the best it is. I've given you the best. God, what he was saying is, and this is the truth, God never takes away something without replacing it with something better. That the Holy Spirit is the best, and it's for you. Goes on to the next verse. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I put that in there because what's interesting is I wonder what it is that I can't bear to understand. Isn't there a little bit of curiosity? Like, what do I not know? How many nosy people are in here? Just raise your hand. Like, you're nosy. Be honest. Come on, raise your hand. Admit to it. I'm very nosy. Husbands raising their wives' hands. I get that. I mean, you're nosy. I get it. Still, have many things to say, but you cannot bear. So I'm wondering what it is. Next verse. Go to the next verse. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. Now, that settles it for this matter. The Holy Spirit does speak to men and women. The Holy Spirit speaks. It's reality. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of a Greek lesson. And you say, well, why are you doing that? Well, here's why. The Bible was written in three languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, okay? And what we've done is, in order to understand it so that we all can read it, we interpret it. There are people who took the original text and put it into English. Well, when they did that, sometimes English doesn't perfectly capture what was said in the Greek. Okay, so every now and then we go back to get a better understanding of what was being said. Holy Spirit in the Greek is paraclete. So say this with me, paraclete. Paraclete. Para means the alongside, and clete is come along. Okay, actually, that's not right. Yeah, para is alongside, a clete is to come. So what was being said in paraclete is to come alongside. So what God is saying is, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, whose very name means to come alongside. That he comes alongside us. And other meanings of the Holy Spirit that we see, you'll see other terms. He's a helper, he's an intercessor, he's an advocate, he's a counselor, and he's a comforter. Now, When you read the word comforter, this is an interesting thing, and it reminds me of a story. And in King James, you see the Holy Spirit referred to as a comforter all the time. And when we first got married, Heather and I first got married, I grew up very poor. She grew up in a better, you know. And so it was the clash of two worlds, you know. I was just very, and she was, and so we got married, and we bought our first house, okay? And I remember going into our first house. I was so proud of that little dollhouse. You know, to me, it was a mansion. And Heather was like, "Oh, we're never gonna make it." But to me, it was our house, right? And as a husband, I was thinking, "I've made it. I've owned my own home, right?" And so Heather, she's gonna make it a home. And I'm thinking, "What do you mean a home? We live here. It's a home, right?" But she wanted to put stuff on the wall. Like if you come to our house, she's got a shovel over our deck door, and you know, apparently that makes it our home. But when we first got married, she wanted a different comforter, because at our wedding we got one of those those bed in a bags. How many have ever had one of those bed? It was like a green Aztec design thing going on. I thought it was fine. It worked great, right? It kept me warm at night. That's all I needed. No one's in our bedroom. Like, what's the big deal? Well, she wanted a comforter, right? And how many know what I'm talking about, right? Coming to her, and I was like, "We don't need no spin mill." Because she was like, she wanted this comforter. And it was like $100,000, and I'm like, "We can't. What are we spending that much money?" It wasn't $100,000, but you know what I'm talking about. The nice ones are a lot of money, right? And she wanted this fluffy yellow with flower stuff. I'm like, "Really, flower stuff? That's just not kind of me, you know." Is this her house? And my dad said, "When you get married, it's like their house. You don't do anything in the house. It's your wife's house. You pay the bills. She does the rest," right? How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So she got her comforter, right? And I got to admit, after she bought it and she put it on the bed, it looked pretty comfy. Like, she put it there. I was like, "Okay, it's got flowers on it. I'm not really into that, but it's fluffy and it looks comfortable and soft." And I was imagining having the windows open and having it up next and just fluffing, you know, cuddling and doing all that. And then, so that night comes along and I'm ready to get into our bed in the new comforter, and she turned it down. I don't even know what turn down means. Like, I grew up poor, like, turn down what? And she had turned down the bed, right? So I didn't know it was turned down. I just thought she pulled it off because she wanted to see the bottom half of the comforter. You know, it was, I just got into bed and I pulled the sheet up, or grabbed the comforter, pulled it up to my head, and she goes, "What are you doing?" All right, and when she's mad, she's like, "James Biffert, what are you doing?" I said, "Nothing, I'm using the comforter." She goes, "It isn't for use, it's for show." I'm like, "Who's coming in our room to see it?" She goes, "I do." "You mean we spent $100,000 on a thing just for you to see it?" I mean, seriously, I said some other things as well, you know, but I can't get into that, the wrong audience. The reality is, and there's, how many know, how many men have discovered there's some things in your house that are not for use, it's for show, right? Like, even our guests can use them, but James, you can't use it. You bought it. You ain't using it, right? I shouldn't tell you that. I was, first time that happened, I'd taken a shower. I forgot to put the towel out. Well, there's this perfectly good towel sitting right there. So I grabbed it, used the towel, dried off. And my wife came in there and she goes, "What do you think you're doing?" Right? Anyone experience this? I said, "I was naked. I was wet. I had no towel. I just did it. I didn't know. And she says, "You don't ever use that. That is not for use." I'm like, "Well, what did you want me to use? A toilet paper? I mean, what did you want me to do? It was there, right?" How many know what I'm talking about? Now listen to this. Some of us in the kingdom of God look at the Holy Spirit and we say, "It's for show, it's not for use." The gifts of the Spirit are for show. He's not for use. Fruits of the Spirit, well, that's for show. That's what we tell people who we are, but we don't actually use it. We don't actually have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We just say he's there. We sing songs about it because it's a perfect fit in the song. It makes the melody so much better. Right? He's for show. And what the Holy Spirit's doing is he's sitting there. Jesus said, it is better that I'm going away so that which you think is for show can be used to experience the kingdom of God on earth. See, the Holy Spirit is here to be your comforter. He's to be your helper. And when you are in a place, and this is the amazing thing about the Holy Spirit, when you're in a place where it's tough, you're at a crossroad, you're between a rock and a hard place, you need an answer and you don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit says, not only do I reveal all truth to you, but I will be there along with you the whole time, and I will work all things for good in your life because I'm in you. I'm with you. You see, the Holy Spirit's not only around you, he's in you. Where you go, there he is. The place in which you stand is holy ground. The light of the world is in you right now. He's here. But most of us don't truly believe that. You know how you don't believe that? You know how I know that you don't believe it? Just the choices you make in your life. And I don't know what they are. I'm presuming there's choices in your life. Look at the choices you make in your life, and it will show you how much you believe whether the Holy Spirit is there for use or just for show on Sunday mornings. We love the song, "The Presence of God is What I Want," right? And yet Jesus shows up through his Holy Spirit. By his Holy Spirit, he's present every morning waiting for us to show up. Okay, let's move on. The amazing thing is the Holy Spirit is as real as anything, anyone you look at today. You look to the person to your right and your left, he's as real as any of them and more real in who he is as God. So the first thing is, I want to give you this morning just quickly some characteristics of who he is. He's a helper. He helps you if you let him. The Holy Spirit is there. Like if you're in a tough spot right now financially, have you talked to the Holy Spirit about it? Well, I mean, I have no problem talking to Jesus about it, and I have no problem talking to God about it. I grew up in a time in the church where you didn't talk to the Holy Spirit. Like, that was ungodly. Benny, how many know Benny Hinn is? Benny Hinn, he would say every morning he'd wake up and go, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," and people had a problem with that. How do people have a problem with you talking to God unless you don't believe the Holy Spirit is God? It's God the Father, God the Son, and did we just eliminate God the Holy Spirit? Like he's the one present, or did Satan convince us that we shouldn't have a relationship with the one who's present? Jesus said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send someone to you, and the devil's convinced us not to have a relationship with the one he sent because we didn't like the name. You're a Holy Ghost. Ooh, that's scary, right? He's our helper, and because we've ignored him, and because we don't talk to him, and because we don't allow him into our life, and because we don't go to him and say, hey, Holy Spirit, this is going to be a tough time that I'm going through. Like, I got to deal with a relational issue, or I got to deal with a situation at work. I need you, Holy Spirit, to be with me and direct me through this, because you're the one who gives all truth. You're the one who can direct. He's the one who makes you the husband you want to be. He's the one that causes you to be the parent you want to be. He's the one that wants you to, empower you to be the employee that God wants you to be, the person that you want to be. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will do more for you than he would do if he was on earth. That's amazing to me, isn't it? To think the answer to all of your issues is Jesus. And he says his Spirit is here and he'll take care of it all. John 16:8 says this. And this is one of the most misinterpreted scriptures in the Bible, and I want to correct it. It says this, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, convict the world of righteousness, convict the world of judgment. And we misunderstand it. We read it that he will convict you of sin. And then if you act bad, he's going to convict you of acting bad, right, unrighteous behavior. And then he's going to get you. Right? That's how we've interpreted it. I've heard it preached even. It's not what it's saying. In fact, here's what it's saying is that no one can come to Christ unless the Holy Spirit reveals they have a need for Christ. He convicts of the sin, that their sin has been the thing that separated them from God. Then he gives you the conviction that once you've accepted Christ in your life, that I believe, I'm convinced that I am righteous no matter how many times I fall, that I am in right standing before God. It says righteousness and not righteous behavior. Righteousness means right standing in God's eyes. He convicts you. So when you've fallen, how many have done something you knew it was wrong? Right? You've said something or you did something or you acted in a way and you knew it was wrong, and you knew it was wrong even before you did it, and you did it anyways, right? And then somebody says, when you do that, you can't be forgiven of it, right? That's the devil, okay? Because the Holy Spirit, what it affirms in us is even in the unrighteous behavior, we possess the righteousness of Christ. That's amazing. So guilt and shame, it's got to go away. And the force that fights guilt and shame and condemnation in your life is the Holy Spirit. But you got to stop and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're a helper. You need to help me with this sense of feeling in my life. You need to help me because I'm struggling with guilt and shame, and this is not in Christ. And so I need you to help me. That is the conviction. The third one is the judgment. He talks about judgment, and what he's really talking about is the ruler of the air at that time. In John 16:11, it says this, and when it refers to it, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. In John chapter 12, it says this. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of the world will be driven out. What he's saying, and in John 14:30 says this. I'll give you one more. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. What Jesus was saying is the Holy Spirit now convicts. I'm convinced that there is no power on earth that can overcome me. I'm convinced of it. I'm fully persuaded that by the Holy Spirit, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's the power. So I said, yeah, things will try to attack me. There will be things in my life will come after me, but he's greater. He's stronger. He has the authority of all those things. Now, here's number two. He's my friend. The Holy Spirit is not only a helper if you'll go to him, he's also a friend if you allow him to be your friend. Now, how many know there are weird people in the world? Satan has done... Satan is so good at lying to people, right? And so Satan has convinced so many Christians and people that the Holy Spirit is weird. And if you pursue the Holy Spirit, you're going to be weird. Can I tell you something? Because you've seen people do weird things, and they've claimed it was under the unction of the Holy Spirit, okay? Can I tell you something? Those people are just weird, right? They did a poll. 1 in 3 people are weird in America. 1 in 3 people are weird in America. So do me a favor. Do me a favor, 1 out of 3. Look to the person to your left. Look to your person to the left. You do that. Now, everybody, look to the person to your left. You'll see the back of their head. Now look to the person to the right. Okay, you all did that. Now let me ask you this question. If when you looked at them, they weren't weird... You got it. I'm just kidding. That wasn't a poll. But how many know that there are weird people in the world, right? And a lot of times weird people will claim the Holy Spirit wants them to do something, and they do it, and we think it's strange and we get scared. And Satan elevates those experiences in our life where sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so did something and it was so freakishly weird that we think the Holy Spirit makes you do weird things. Now, here's the interesting thing. I'm going to tell you a story. There was a pastor's wife. It's a true story. In Michigan, there was a pastor's wife who she was sitting in the worship service, and God said to her, go roll around on the stage. And she's like, no way in the world. Am I doing it? First of all, she didn't do it because of pride. Secondly, she wasn't going to do it because her husband would kill her. Like, for rolling around, how weird is that, rolling around on stage? She didn't do it. And she said she kept singing and singing, but God wasn't, it was obvious she was supposed to get up on the stage and roll around. So she did. she said, was the most humiliating experience in her life. Now, everybody in the room thought it was weird, I'm sure. Why is she rolling around on the platform, right? Wouldn't you think that? Right? Well, not probably here because you've seen me do it, but they thought it was weird until at the end of the service, a man came forward, gave his life to Christ, and said that while he was sitting in the audience, he told God, "I don't even believe you exist. This is all a show, and none of this makes sense. If you're real, God, somebody should get up and roll around on the stage." You didn't think it was weird then, did you? The problem is there are people who do weird things and there's never a fruit from it. Like there's never a rest of the story from it, and it's weird. It's because they're weird people. God will ask you to do things that may appear to be weird in the moment, but when you know it's the Holy Spirit directing you to do something, it's because there's something in the end he wants to do. Now, I was preaching in Michigan a number of years ago. I was preaching there. And we were here already. We'd already moved to Minnesota, and we'd been here a while, and we were going back to preach on a Sunday morning there. And I love preaching to that family, because it's like family still. Even though I love you guys a lot, don't think I love, you know, whatever. But I love preaching there because there's just a connection that I had. And when I was getting up to preach, the Holy Spirit had been telling me, "Take your jacket and shirt off." Now, that's weird. Right? And if you know me, you all know I ain't doing that. Right? And I kept saying, "There's no way, that's the devil. Devil, get behind me." And yet the Holy Spirit, knowing his voice, kept saying, "Take your shirt off." And I'm thinking, no way in the world am I doing that, right? Because I knew the people in that place and they would think that's weird. Right? I go, "Take my shirt off." So I got up there, and while I'm preaching, the Lord would not let me start preaching. I mean, I was preaching, but my thoughts were all bumbled. I said, and I literally said, "Fine, God," out loud, and took my coat off and took my shirt off and preached in a t-shirt. You know, I didn't want to have all my muscles showing. You just can't handle that. I mean, they would not have been able to handle that. So I preach in this t-shirt, and I got to tell you, I am not comfortable preaching in this t-shirt, because that's not who I am, and it was just, and I'm doing. And at the end of the service, someone came up and said, I wasn't gonna listen to a word you said. I didn't think anything you said was going to make, but when you took your shirt off, the Lord spoke to me and said, "We are undone, and we need to hear from God." It was a message of, and what a word for today. We all think we're all great and prime and we got it all figured out, when in reality, all of us are walking around with our t-shirts on. We're all undone. Don't we need the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit is not weird. Sometimes he'll have you say a word to someone. You won't understand why, but you do it because you know the Holy Spirit spoke to you. Because he's a friend. And if he's a friend, he wants to talk to you and he wants to relate with you. Here's the last thing that the Holy Spirit is. He's my God. He's my God. The Holy Spirit is my God. Here are the verses, John 14:16. "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Next verse. "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name." Next verse. "But when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." All of this is saying that the Holy Spirit is much God as the Father and the Son. Next one. "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove." Now, you're going to see all three right here. "The Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove." There's the Holy Spirit. "Upon him, the Son, Jesus." There's the Son. "And a voice came from heaven, God, you are my beloved Son, and you I'm well pleased." All three of them were present in that moment. All three. The Holy Spirit is as important to you as God the Father. They're all God. Now, what's interesting is they all defer to one another. So they all, the Holy Spirit lifts up the Son and the Father. The Son lifts up the Holy Spirit and the Father. The Father lifts up the Son and they defer. This would be a conversation between the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. "You know what? You're wonderful." "No, you're wonderful." "No, you both are wonderful." "You guys are so amazing." "No, you're amazing." "No, you both are amazing." you're great. You're both great, right? That would be literally the Holy Spirit. They lift, they support one another and eat and everything in what they're doing. It's a common thing in what they're doing. And so the Holy Spirit is here to work with us, to draw us closer to who Christ is. I put down in all the research that I was doing, I put this down. And before I share it with you, I'm going to share an illustration or a story. I had a neighbor who was a Christian, went to church, and he knew I was a pastor, and he knew I was an Assembly of God pastor, which means I believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which meant I believed in speaking in tongues. And it's a funny thing that even now, churches like Bethlehem Baptist are saying we were wrong. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today. Because you can't deny the power of the Holy Spirit. This gentleman thought I was teaching people that they needed to be possessed by demons when they spoke in tongues because that was demonic. The speaking, even though it was in the Bible, even it's all over the Bible, that it was demonic. And I said, listen, let me put it to you this way. Do you believe every good and perfect gift comes from above? Of course, because it's in the Bible. You can't argue it. It's in the Word of God. It's right there. I said, if that's true, then why don't you go to the Lord and say, God, if the baptism of the Holy Spirit's real with the evidence of speaking tongues, then give me the gift. I want everything that comes from you because you don't give imperfect gifts. And you know what the response was? I will not do that. Why? Because you don't trust God? Because you need to watch out for people who talk against the Holy Spirit. Because they're not talking against the Holy Spirit, they're talking against God. The Holy Spirit is God. And the whole experience, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, listen, you know what you're supposed to do. I've already told you the vision of all of this, told you about the kingdom of God, but I don't want you going anywhere until you receive the promised one that I've talked to you about. I don't want you going anywhere. There's a festival coming up. The Feast of Pentecost is coming up. I want you to go and I want you to wait until that feast and something's going to come to you. The disciples were in the upper room because they were expecting God to do something in their life. It wasn't a coincidence. They didn't go there and all of a sudden tongues of fire came down. They were expecting it. And then something supernatural happened and he said, then, now go. Now you've entered in the kingdom of God. Now go. There's the baptism in salvation. There's the baptism in water, which we're doing in third service, three baptisms in water, and should be baptized in water. And then there's the thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's the third baptism. They all come from the Bible. And in the third baptism, John chapter 3, it says, when you were saved, you saw the kingdom of God. When you were baptized by Spirit and water, you entered the kingdom of God on earth. This is an important thing that the devil's trying to deceive you, and he's so good at trying to deceive people, isn't he? They'd be afraid of it, scared of it, think it's not for today or it's not something, and yet it is life-changing. Because as Jesus said, that's why I sent him. It's gonna be way better with him than without him. Does that make sense? Doesn't mean people are less than if they don't have it. It's a gift that God has given everyone. Would you bow your head for a moment?